All right.
We've been looking at Matthew 24. Matthew 24. I should know where it's at by now. Let's see. First, am I looking for? Yes. Matthew 24, verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. I thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your Son, and I thank you, dear God, that we can gather here here tonight and know that you're here with us as you promised to be. I thank you for the services this morning, for the Word of God that went forth, the ministries and the worship. And Father, and I just pray it was a pleasing offering unto you, dear God. And Lord, I ask now, just fill me with your Spirit, help me to minister to the church tonight and be with Miss Pat in the nursery and fill with thy Spirit, or maybe Brother Brian, someone's back there. Father, I lose track of it sometimes, but be with them and help them, dear God, back there. And I thank you for those who work so willingly and faithfully, dear God. Without us all working together, we would not be able to accomplish what you have for us. And so, Father, I thank you for that. Speak to our hearts afresh and anew. Bless us in the service tonight, and pray we'd be edified and you'd be glorified. Father, we do pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to have Linda May here with us tonight and her husband Leo. They were in our church for a while back and became friends, and we miss them. And we're glad they're here tonight, so praise the Lord. All right, Brother Brian, would you see everybody gets a copy? Every adult gets a copy of this, please. Thank you. I have some missionary letters. I'll be looking at some of them tonight. I'm getting kind of behind on them. It's been a few weeks since I've done them. We began studying on Sunday nights a few weeks back, looking at some verses with which some people use to say that you can lose your salvation. And of course, if that is not true, then in order for them to use those verses, they would have to what? Take them out of context. And so we do believe that is not true. We do believe the first part of this lesson was to teach the doctrine of eternal security. We looked at many solid truths that teach you cannot lose your salvation. Eternal life is what? Eternal life. And the Spirit comes in and abides with us how long? Forever. And he that hath the Son hath life. And there's just so many verses that teach that you cannot lose your salvation. We saw that. But then there are those who use verses like this, take it out of context, and use them to teach that you can lose your salvation. How easy is this one to pluck out of here and say, he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. So if you don't endure unto the end, the same, then you're not going to be saved. If you're not faithful unto the end, of course, that's their interpretation. And what have we been looking at this in the study of Matthew? Well, he's talking about the end times. Remember, the question the disciples asked was, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world, or of the end of the age? And Jesus was answering the questions about that. He said, he began talking about the end. He talked about the great struggles during those days. And then, except they should be shortened, what? No flesh should be saved alive. And so it talks about the tribulation period in Matthew 24 and how bad it's going to be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh should be saved alive. Physically, nobody would be living after that time unless God cut it short. So there's quite a bit of context there that they're missing. Now, the notes that I've given you I've gone through a lot of prophecy in the past couple of weeks. The first week I shot through it like a bullet, and I think nobody was able to hang on to anything that I said. And the last week I went through it a little slower, and this week I decided to put it on paper, okay? So I have here for you what I've shared with you over the past couple of weeks. I shared with you and showed you some commonalities or some repeating themes through prophecy that show us some things that relate to Israel in the end of the age. Through the prophecies, we're going to see Israel in a time of trouble, a time of persecution. We're going to see Israel scattered out of their land, Israel regathered again, a time of persecution. During that time of persecution, we're going to see Israel given a place to escape, where they're kept safe for a little while, or protected in the wilderness during that persecution. And then we also see in the theme of prophecies a great exaltation for Israel and for Jerusalem in the end times. And that was the times that the disciples are asking about. What shall be the sign of what? The end of the world. And Jesus is answering their question. It's not the end of someone's life. By the way, Matthew 24:13 says, "He that what? Shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." So those people who use it to say that that's talking about salvation, I would say, oh, did you ever mess up? Well, yeah. But I got it right. Oh, then you didn't endure unto the end, did you? What they really mean is, if you're found enduring at the end. That's what they really mean. You know, because if you happen to mess up right when Christ returns, then guess what? You didn't endure unto the end, did you? What they don't really mean he that shall endure unto the end, because they would admit they've never done that. Oh, have you fallen since you've been saved? Have you sinned since you met Jesus? Well, yes, I have. Then you haven't endured unto the end, have you? You've had some mess ups in there that you didn't make it unto the end. And so they really don't mean, they really can't say what they really mean, what they really believe in is if you're found enduring at the end, if you're found just faithful at the end. It doesn't fit, not what Scripture's talking about. So I have it color-coded here. As we go through Scripture, it shows you those occurring themes. If you see on your paper there, you have Israel and Jerusalem exalted and blessed. Israel persecuted in red. Israel provided a place to flee amidst the great tribulation in green. And then the archangel Michael is associated with Israel in the Bible. You have that in the gray. Looking through the prophecies, you see them all laid out there. Look at Hosea. Hosea 2:14. Therefore, behold, I will allure her, her is Israel, and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And so there we have one of those places that talks about that place of rest or safety for Israel in Hosea. You have Hosea 2:18, talking about a great day coming. Look, in that day will I make a covenant for them, that's Israel, with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. What's he talking about there? During the millennium, what? The lion's going to what? Eat straw like the cow, and the lamb's going to lay down with the lion. God's going to make a covenant with the animals during the millennium. And they're going to be involved in the millennium as well. So that's talking about millennial times in Hosea 2:18. Isaiah 2:2, you have, it shall come to pass what? In the last days. There you have it. The mountain of the Lord's house. Mountain in the Bible oftentimes means government. The government of the Lord's house. Not just the government of the Lord's house. The temple will be rebuilt, I believe that. It shall be established in the top of the mountains. Paul is talking about, again, the millennial coming. Look at Isaiah 26:15 there. Thou hast increased the nation. God said he would what? Gather them. Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord. Thou art glorified. Thou hadst, past tense, removed it far unto the ends of the earth. You had scattered it. Now you've increased it. That's prophetic. We see that. Look at the tribulation there. Isaiah 26:17. Like as a woman with child that draweth near to the time of her delivery, is in pain and crieth out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. And you'll find that picture of a woman in travail. By the way, how many women have children? That's a pretty rough thing, isn't it? And Carol Burnett said, someone asked her to explain what having a baby was like, and she said, take your bottom lip and pull it up over your head. And for lack of being able to explain it, you know, but it's a painful thing. And so you'll find that used when talking about tribulation. And then look at verse 20 in Isaiah 26. What do we have there? Come, my people, enter into thy chambers and shut thy doors. A place of respite, a place of safety about thee, and hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. In the last half of the tribulation, Israel will be taken into that wilderness and kept from some of those persecutions until the indignation be passed. Next page, Isaiah 65, talking about the millennium and those yellow portions. Look down in Jeremiah, the middle of the page, the red part there, talking again about tribulation. What's he say? Verse 4, these are the words that the Lord spake concerning who? Israel and Judah. Israel and Judah. What did Jesus say in Matthew 24? Well, we'll get there. Let them that what be in Judea flee into the mountains. Israel and Judah. Thus saith the Lord, we've heard a voice of trembling, of fear, not of peace. Ask ye now, see whether a man doth travail with child. There's the same picture again in Jeremiah. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, picturing great tribulation, as a woman in travail, all faces turned into paleness. Alas, for the day is present, so that none is like it. It is even the time of whose trouble? Jacob's trouble, Israel. And look what the next part says, but he shall be saved out of it. There's that safety place again, that God providing that way of safety. The yellow again talks about the millennium in Isaiah and Ezekiel. And you go to the next page, go to the third page, and here we see that the archangel Michael in the Bible is associated with Israel. Daniel mentions him in verse 12 there. We see an angel is talking to Daniel. He says, "Fear not, Daniel." So Daniel is of Israel. He's been praying for the future, about the future of Israel, and an angel has been sent to answer Daniel's prayer. The angel says to Daniel in verse 13, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, and I believe this to be an angelic being, withstood me 120 days." So we have an angel coming to answer Daniel's prayer, but another angel called the prince of the kingdom of Persia, what? Holds up this angel for this amount of time. What did he say? But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. What are these princes? They're angelic beings, both good and evil. And there's a spiritual battle going on there. And Michael came and helped that angel. Why? Because these things pertain to Israel. And look what he says here in verse 21. This angel is going to show Daniel what's coming in the future. And he says, verse 14. I'm come to make thee understand what shall befall who? Thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. It's the end times. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, verse 21 of Daniel 12. There is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, what's it say? Your prince. Michael, your prince, Israel. Your prince, Daniel. Michael's associated with Israel. Look at Daniel 12:1. Here we have all three in one verse. At that time, talking about the end times, shall Michael stand up? I bet he will, because the end times are associated with who? Israel, Jacob's trouble. At that time shall Michael stand up. Michael the archangel. So Michael stand up. The great prince which what? Standeth for the children of thy people. There it is again. And look, there's tribulation. There shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to this time. And look at this. At that time thy people shall be what? Delivered. There it is again. There's the safety place. From that. Look at Jude 1. He talks about the Michael archangel associated with the battle over the devil over Moses' body. The devil wanted it. Probably wanted to have Israel to find it so he could have Israel set it up for an idol. And it's associated with Israel. So who steps in? Michael steps in and he deals with this situation. Michael the archangel. Zechariah. the last prophet in the Old Testament. The day of the Lord cometh, that's the end of the age. The spoil shall be delivered in the midst of thee. And it's talking about Armageddon there. I'll gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. All nations, by the way. And the city shall be taken, and the house is rifled. There will be a partial, what seems like a successful attack against Jerusalem. The women ravished. Half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall be cut off from the city. So half of the city goes into captivity, but not all of them. He goes on and says, then the Lord's going to come and go fight against those nations. Verse 3 talks about that. That's the coming of the Lord to meet the troops that have come in the battle of Armageddon. And when he comes there, he makes a valley there. And then look at verse 5, talking to Israel. And ye shall flee where? To the valley of the mountains. You see that? To the valley of the mountains. And now where have we been? In Matthew 24. What does Jesus tell his disciples? Verse 9. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted. They shall kill you. You shall be hated of how many? All nations for my name's sake. Tribulation against Israel. He goes on to tell them about all that's going to happen there. And verse 13, he that shall endure unto the end, same shall be saved. In other words, if you follow my instructions, I'll get you through this to the end, to the millennium, which begins right after the tribulation. And then look at Jesus' instructions, verse 16. When you see these things happen, what's he say? Let them which be in Judea, what do what? Flee into the mountain. You see? It's all through prophecy. It's all through the scriptures, what God's been saying. And then we see it all put together for us prophetically and historically in Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. We see that whole chapter there is about Israel. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with a band, with the sun, the moon, under her feet, and upon her head a crown of what? 12 stars. Who's that? Israel. Genesis 37:9, you'll find Joseph has a dream, and the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed down unto him. Who's the 12th star? Joseph. So the sun and the moon, you know, would have been Jacob and his wife and representative, and then the 12 sons. That's Israel. That's Israel. This woman with the sun and the moon, the 12 stars, and she being with child, there it is, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. That's Israel being persecuted. Another wonder in heaven, behold the red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, his tail to the third part of stars from heaven. Verse 4. And he wants to kill he wants to devour her child as soon as it was born. The devil wants to what? Has been trying to just extinguish Israel and keep Christ from coming from the time of the prophecies. So, he wanted to devour the child soon as he was born. Remember Herod? What did he do? He sent the troops to Bethlehem to kill all the children that could have possibly been Christ from the time that he believed that he was born there. So the devil's been trying to kill Jesus since day one, trying to stop it. But then what happens? The woman brought forth the man-child. Where did Jesus come from? Israel. Who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Who's that? Jesus Christ. And her child was what? Caught up unto God and to his throne. Wow. So she has the child, and now Jesus is in heaven. And now look at verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Well, isn't that, preacher? There's a whole lot of time since Jesus went back to heaven and the tribulation period where God provides a place for Israel to hide in the wilderness. What happened? This is the church age. Israel's been set aside. That's why Israel's not addressed again in Revelation chapter 12 until after the church age. Israel's not, in a sense, they're not in God's focus in a special way right now. They've been set aside. So after the child was caught up into heaven, Israel's not in focus in Daniel's 70 weeks. That was for his people. They're set aside for now. After the rapture, guess what? God's focus is back on Israel. That's Daniel's 70th week. And then he comes. And so the scripture picks it up right after the church age. Verse 6 doesn't miss a beat.
It says the woman fled in the wilderness, where she had the place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. There's that safe place for Israel, end of the tribulation. And then look at verse 7. And there was war in heaven, and who's there? Michael! Why? Because things about Israel are happening. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. We see it all through the scripture. And so we see that. What are we looking at here? How does this apply to Matthew 24? Those of Israel who obey the command of God to flee into the wilderness will be preserved through the remainder of the tribulation and will be among those who enter the millennium in mortal bodies as subjects of the kingdom. Thus they endure unto the end and are among the flesh that are saved alive. Jesus said, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive. But those days are shortened for the elect's sake. And so they're shortened. And they are among the flesh that are saved alive. The instructions were addressed to what? Those that be in Judea. You say, well, what about the rest of the world, preacher? God's not focused on the rest of the world right now. He's focused on Israel again. And he's telling them what to do. And so we see it all through the Bible. So someone who takes Matthew 24 and they pluck that verse out of there. Let's say I've lived in the mountains and the plains. I'm a hillbilly. I lived in the mountains and the plains all my life. I've never seen the ocean. And I like lighthouses, but I've never seen a lighthouse. I don't know what a lighthouse is. I don't know I might even be doubtful that oceans exist, okay? And someone gives me this, and I like this. But I do like flashlights. I have several flashlights that I have one that I put on my head, you know, for hunting and the different flashlights. You have flashlights you put under your hood, you know, underneath the hood of your car to work on things and all kinds of neat flashlights. So I get this as a gift, and I say, then this it's not going to work. This is a neat flashlight. Now, it's not the best design, a little hard on the hands, you know, but what's it? I know about flashlights. Well, sometimes there might be something, a little hole there, and maybe I stick that light in there, and I can see what's in there. Maybe it's just for when it's not so dark, you see a little bit of light, you know, and I can set it in there and use it for that. And so I begin thinking that's what this is for, and that's what this is all about. And you look at me and you go, don't you know what that is? I say, well, it's a flashlight. And you say, preacher, that's a lighthouse. I mean, all over the coast. If you go out there, you know, drive up and down the coast, you'll see lighthouses. And you read in history, you'll find that they were built to help the boats coming into harbor and to shine the lights when it was foggy and to send out the horn and to be a warning for the ships and such. That's just a decoration to put in your house. See, there was a whole world out there that I didn't know about. I took this thing out of context and I put it in my context in the world I was familiar with. See, if I'd have known and studied about that world out there, I'd have never thought this was a flashlight. You see what I'm saying? But the world that I was familiar with was the world of flashlights. And so I was sure it was some kind of a flashlight. People that believe you can lose your salvation have been brought up in the world of you can lose your salvation. And they've learned the whole Bible under that context. And they've never taken the time. By the way, when we started with Matthew 24, we started with a deep and passage that needs to be studied out. Some things aren't easily understood. Matthew 24 is one of them. So we started with probably one of the deepest passages that they just puck the verse out and say, if you're not faithful, you won't be saved. Look at all, what did they fail to do? They failed to put in the time to study the Bible and to figure out what Jesus was talking about. You see, I should have known this probably wasn't a flashlight. Why? It's not fashioned very well for my hands, is it? And by the way, it's not a very good light to see things, is it? Something should have told me this was not a flashlight. And you know, when you read in Matthew 28, 24, 13, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And you read things like, you know, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give them eternal life and what? They shall never perish. And you read things like, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And you read on and on about eternal security. And then you read a verse that says, but he that doeth unto the other same shall be saved. Something ought to be saying you that sounds like it might be saying you lose your salvation, but something doesn't fit. Something isn't right. I must be mistaken somewhere. And it's time for me to find out what I don't know about that verse. You see what I'm saying? And that's what they've done. And what we have done, we have found out what they don't know. Amen? And answered that question for Matthew 24. The other verses we'll be looking at won't be nearly as complex as that. And there's even less reason for them to be taking those out of context that we'll see some of the other verses that we're looking at that. All right, so I do have time to read a letter or two, and I hope that has been helpful, and that as you read through those more, you'll find that even more, study those things out, and trust it will be a blessing to you and ground you in that. All right. Have a letter here from the Kleins, our missionaries in Argentina, to the Mapuche people, and this is actually their last letter of 2017, the fourth quarter letter. Brother Klein writes, as 2017 ended, our little town was celebrating its 75th anniversary. In honor of this event, the town has a new gym for the kids. As you drive into town, you'll see the new shrine. You'll see the new shrine of one of the saints. I have two new students for English with Creation, is his English teaching class. I have two new students for English with Creation. Jonathan is about 30, and Carlos is an older gentleman that goes to a church in town. Carlos has always wondered what was the source of the water for Noah's flood. The Bible provided the answer for him during class while studying Genesis 7:11, where the windows of heaven were opened. By the way, the fountains of the great deep were broken up. At each class, he is eager to learn a new Bible verse in English. He is such a blessing. We also have started a new class with Argentine and Bolivian children ages 6 to 9. This class is a wonderful way to connect with families. God has opened the door into the lives of many families this month through our English classes and through the testimony of our boys in town. Pedro Diaz is a friend of Matt, Jonathan, and Philip, and helps them with a little Indian church in the mountains near Orolas de los Minos. Pedro has a trucking company. The boys help him by loading manure, wood, bricks, and supplies. Pedro is a very nice Christian and likes working and visiting with the boys. They enjoy working with him in his trucking business and being out in the country. Our family had a great time with Pedro and his family when we were invited over for an asado de cordero, barbecue of sheep. We were able to fellowship and share some of our beliefs. We also discussed the difference between what is written in the Bible and what is considered acceptable Christian behavior. Prayer requests. Continue to pray for Taylor and Lauren. We had them here as they raise support to go as missionaries to Mozambique. Pray for Adrian Ferrari as he raises the funds to purchase our van for his ministry. Pray for Tyler and Marisa, that's their daughter and other son-in-law. And as they minister in Delaware, and for the birth of our fifth grandchild. Do you remember? Anybody remember what their ministry is in Delaware? I don't remember what it is. Right?
He's
assistant pastor there now? Okay. Ministering there? Right. Okay, amen. The boys have been able to minister, talking about his boys there in Argentina, have been able to minister weekly at a little church in Orolos de los Minos. Recently, some protesting Mapuche have moved in and are not allowing the little church to meet. These Mapuche are trying to take over the land of an older Mapuche lady that belongs to the church. This is causing many problems in the area. Pray for the tracts that have been passed out.
We pray that the gospel will not only change the people, the people's eternal destiny, but will cause them to live for Christ now. God bless. Talked about some Mapuche trying to take over the land of an older Mapuche lady that belongs to the church. Human nature doesn't change much. Look at Matthew 12:38. In Matthew 12:38, Jesus speaking. To those Pharisees who thought they knew it all but didn't know anything because they rejected Christ. He tells them that they're hypocrites, and I'm wondering if I got the right passage here. Mark 12:38. Mark 12:38. Mark 12:38, Jesus teaching his disciples and the common people. Beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces and the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at feasts. And look at verse 40. Which what? Devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation. These Mapuche are going after this older lady's property and house. Look what Jesus goes on to say. I thought this interesting when I was reading through this in my Bible reading this year in my devotions. This kind of stuck out to me. Keep reading in this passage there. He says, they devour widows' houses and for a pretense shall make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation. and then look at as we keep going. As he set over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came what? A certain poor what? Who? Widow. And she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want, or her lack, did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now I couldn't help but think as I wondered about that, did Jesus see that woman coming? Was she one of those widows whom they had devoured her house? She could have been. I don't know. She might have been one of those very religious leaders made poverty stricken. And Jesus says, you devour a widow's houses and for a pretense make long prayers. And then this widow gets to the offering plate, which was accessible to all the people, even the common people in the temple. All people couldn't go everywhere in the temple, but offering they made accessible to all. So the widow comes up to the plate and Jesus says, do you see that? She's put in more than everybody because that's all she has. And I thought about that. Boy, human nature doesn't change much, does it? And people going after those things. All right, we'll pray for the clients and we'll close our service for tonight. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the clients in Argentina. And God, they've been serving you faithfully there for years. They've seen, God, their kids grow up there. And most of them leave them one time or another and come back to the States and marry and carry on with their own lives. And they have a few boys there with them now. And Emily's still with them there too, I believe. And Father, I thank you for them and for their faithful ministry and service there, Heavenly Father. And God, we do pray for them. We do pray for Taylor and Lauren, who are working to raise support to go to the mission field to Mozambique. I thank you for the good meeting that we had with them, the generous love offering that was given to them, Heavenly Father. And I pray that they would be able to get the churches to support them that they need to get to the field. Help them, I pray. I pray for this man who wants to buy the clients, that wants to buy their van for his ministry, that he'd be able to raise the funds for that. Please help him with that. Be with Tyler and Marisa as they minister in Delaware and helping
the church there and the pastor and doing the things that you've called him to do. Be with that fifth grandchild coming along. We pray for a healthy baby, a healthy mama, a safe delivery, and provisions for all that's needed there. Thank you for the boys being able to minister in this small church. And Father, we do pray that you'd resist these that are fighting against the church. And God, they're just wanting the money of this poor older lady. Heavenly Father, that's very grieving to you. And Father, I pray that you would help this church, help this lady, help this church to help this lady and to keep these safe from these who are just covetous like the world, Heavenly Father. And I pray that you'd help them in that and give deliverance there. It's causing many problems. Please help them, I pray. Bless the tracts that have been passed out, Heavenly Father, and the gospel that's gone forth, that lives would be changed, that hearts would be changed, souls would be saved, lives would be changed, and that your word would go forth there. Keep them safe, dear God, and meet every need. We thank you that we've been able, you have enabled us to support them faithfully. Help us to continue to pray for them, support them as you provide, and God, use them in a great and powerful way for your glory. Thank you for keeping them faithful there. Father, we do pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.